You're watching New Sound Wave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Kilby, XV, Lady Rick, Bweebum, with Rob Springer.
Hey, everybody. It's your old friend, John DeLuna, coming to you live on tape with New Sound Wave 86. New Sound Wave 86 is old school, brother. It is audio only, so everybody's going to talk like Macho Man this week to hold your
oh,
interest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So joining me, not the Macho Man because he's not with us anymore. It's not Peter either. He is still with us. He is still on this plane. He is on this mortal
plane.
So not plane.
Macho.
Yes. That is XB.
Hi.
New Lob, Rob Clay.
Hi.
And Chris Triplett joining us from Fanboy Versus.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you guys? Very good?
This is kind of like substitute New Sound Wave, isn't it?
Sort of, which is fitting. So before we get into the show, this is the last old New Sound Wave. Next week will be the new Sound Wave. So what does that mean? Well, it means a hell of a lot more than this. So you're going to have video and audio, and the video is going to be lots of flashy, fun stuff. So you're going to get some stuff that I'll hold off on describing fully. It'll be a surprise, but it will feel a lot more like a show. Lots of we're going to have some breaks in the discussion. We're going to have some fun stuff, some retro stuff. It'll be awesome. It'll be much more visually and aurally stimulating.
It will be a more engaging show.
Yes, it has blast processing. Let's put it that
way. Yeah.
Excellent.
Baby.
You've got my attention.
That's right. That's right. So, on the show this week, Capcom has made a very, very controversial decision with one of their new games, and this may change the face of gaming forever. Not exaggerating. We'll also talk about the Supreme Court. They actually stood up for video games for once. We'll talk about a April Fool's joke with the iPad that has come true. Ninja Turtles are on borrowed time. We'll explain. Team Fortress 2 news. The PSN is still melting down, down, down in Japan, Japan, Japan. And even a little bit of Saints Row the Third news. So, let's get right to it. First of all, I'll tease our discussion for the week. We'll talk about it a little bit here and then mainly at the end of the show. So Capcom is releasing another Resident Evil game. Shocking, I know. But a sad twist to this. It's for the 3DS. Capcom has decided that this game will be the one, folks, I think, that may change gaming forever. It is going to be... The title of the game is Resident Evil Mercenaries 3D, like I said, for the 3DS. It is going to be a game that once you play through it, you will not be able to play from the beginning again. So it will
what?
Not, it will be unable, it will not reset completely once you play through the game. You can only play through the game once. The intention here is you won't be able to resell the game. An interesting tactic. Guys, what do you think about this? What are your thoughts?
Just initially. What?
So is this something that, like, I mean, is this scary when you hear it? Like, you can only play the game once, and then it's not necessarily bricked, but it'll never be the same.
I mean, just play as a Resident Evil game, which I don't care anything about.
Yeah.
Okay,
Resident
well,
Evil 9 or something like that.
Well, and this is a Resident Evil game that has never sounded very interesting.
That's
the
true.
Game itself, not like I think it's Revelations is the next one. Actually, sounds like it's a story-driven game,
mm-hmm.
But still, this sounds like crap. What are they doing?
Yes, I don't know. They're screwing us over, man. Damn the man. Damn.
I'll tell
man.
You what. That's going to be an interesting discussion topic in a little bit.
Yes. So we'll get into it a little bit later. First, the Supreme Court has actually stood up for video games. So Brown versus EMA. It's a long-running case to decide the fate of the 2005 video game law and it has finally been decided. So it so what was at stake here? It was the act forbidding sale or rental of violent games to minors, and the Supreme Court has decided that that does not jive with the First Amendment. So you cannot forbid the sale of rental or violent games to minors because the First Amendment says so. According to the Justice Antonin Scalia, the law was struck down with a 7-2 majority, so pretty strong. For over half a decade, politicians in California have been spending your tax dollars on attempting to push an unconstitutional law that forbade young ones, minors, from getting rental games that were violent or buying them outright. So if you want your Mortal Kombat and you're 8 years old, you are free and, you know, it is completely within the your rights to go out and buy a game. This brings up the conversation, folks, guys. So put yourself back when you were 10, 12, 13, a minor, and there were games like Mortal Kombat. Were you guys ever restricted on the games that you could get? You know, or were you back in the day, was this not even like an issue?
Only by my parents.
Huh? Yeah. Parents. So here's a question. When you were a minor, when we were minors, I guess the rating system wasn't quite what it was. It was probably kind of emerging just a little bit. But,
Mortal Kombat came out, the rating system was totally different. And I remember it being like MA-13 or something. Right. By that point, it didn't really matter to me. You know, I think I was actually past that age at that point. But it's completely different from what it is today. I mean, it's almost night and day different.
It's one of these things, though. I mean, I'm sure it's the same now as it was kind of back then. But when you're 13 years old and you really want a game, aren't you going to find a way to get the game?
Probably.
Like, one way or another?
I would think so, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And I can't remember, you know, there were fewer violent games back in the day, like ultra-violent games. But I can never remember, like, a person at a video game store giving me a hard time. Even when I was younger, going in there on the games that I selected, right? You guys never got a hard time, right?
No. I mean, also with movies, honestly, I never got a hard time either, which is a strange thing. I mean, it seems like, you know, in the last couple, 15 years or so that the movies have become a bigger deal. But when I was younger, it seems like I could get into some pretty, you know, racy movies at the time.
Well, I mean, you know, back in the day, we had Leisure Suit Larry and those kind of games, right? So, yeah, I don't know. Well, then again, I mean, these days, oh, and we almost got, what was it, Thrill Kill? Oh, man, if we'd only gotten Thrill Kill.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, Duke Nukem. So Duke Nukem would be a good test. I'm sure you guys are all aware of how, like, mind-numbingly offensive, apparently, Duke Nukem Forever is. It would be interesting to, like, march in a bunch of 13-year-olds or 12-year-olds and see if they get a hard time buying a game like that. Because I'm going to think that if there's any game ever that you would kind of be resistant selling to a 10-year-old, it's probably Duke Nukem.
I think it depends on where you go to buy that game. Like if you're going to Walmart, you're definitely going to have a hard time now, I think. But it just kind of depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
You see, in the UK, we've got a thing of our games are rated much like movies are, and you've got to have an adult to buy a 15-year-old game and anything higher, really. And it's kind of illegal to sell anything for a younger, you know, for an 18-certificated game to a, you know, a minor, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, folks.
Not only can the parent get in trouble, the person who sells the game to that parent can get in trouble as well.
That's interesting. So that's kind of also like similar to here in America, actually drinking rules. So drinking laws. So the bartender, the person who serves the drink, is somewhat responsible if you get into an accident, you know, after drinking. That's really interesting. Interesting.
£1,000 fine as well for the person who sells the game.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. And fines can be effective. By the way, guys, this is Tony Thrussell. Tony Thrussell
Hello.
Is a contributor on RFC. He's also joining us for New Soundwave, the last classic New Soundwave. We'll see you next week for the powered up Soundwave. Anyway.
It's a cool. Very classic New Soundwave, but with the no video and all.
Yes. It's, you know, it itself is a retro. This is like the, this is the Intellivision version of New Soundwave. When we come back, we're going to be at least like, I don't know, 16-bit. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, let's shoot a little high. Let's aim a little
high. Super New Soundwave.
That's right. That's right. Still using cartridges.
We can't be New Soundwave CD like the Sega CD, because I love the Sega CD.
Yeah, well, we're going to sell a New Soundwave 32 add-on next year. It'll be $200, and it's going to have slightly improved graphics.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, that's right. Still card-based. Still card-based. About 2-3 months ago on April Fool's Day, there was a Photoshop April Fool's prank called the iCade. Now, the iCade was, at the time, a fake mini, tiny arcade cabinet that fit on your iPad. Again, fake. But now, ThinkGeek, as they are wont to do, have actually made a real version of this. It's awesome. If you're listening or watching live in the chat room, I have posted a link to it. It is a miniature arcade, retro style, of course. Eight button/six button layout, Capcom style. And it is $100. It is in stock. ThinkGeek should pay us for this advertising. you can play all sorts of retro games on it. It's pretty cool, guys. I mean, this it brings up the conversation. Cool. One, I think we can all agree it's a cool idea. Two, how many of you guys still play like the retro games? I mean, like retro games.
Me, I just recently downloaded Mega Man 2 for my iPhone.
Yeah,
and I've been kicking Dr. Willy's ass.
Nice,
awesome.
What about
I've
you,
been
Rob?
Playing.
Oh, if a month goes by where I haven't played Ms. Pac-Man, something has gone horribly wrong. So,
nice.
I still play a lot of that old stuff. So,
asteroid binges every now and then.
If I had an iPad, I would definitely like to have this thing. It's adorable.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's cute, guys.
I have to admit, I'd be more amused by this if it was designed around an iPhone or iPod.
Well, just as you say that, I got an email because I've signed up to ThinkGeek a long time ago, and they brought out a thing for the iPhone as well. What it is, it's just like two DualShock controller sticks that you place on your iPhone's screen, and you could play games with a joypad like that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What is it about the classic games, so real classic games like Ms. Pac-Man and her contemporaries, what is it about those games that keeps them like relevant and kind of fresh and entertaining? Is it the simplicity? Is it the purity of it?
I think so. I think it's the simplicity, but also they're just mind-numbingly difficult, some of those games where it's like, one more game.
Yeah.
You know, I spent hours and hours and hours, because I recently found my old NES, and I was like, oh, I've got all these classic games that I've just spent ages playing, and Mega Man 2 being one of them, and I spent hours playing Mega Man 2, and it's like, oh, I'm just going to get past there, and it's that annoying just death noise, it's like, oh!
And I guess it's like the we didn't have like save states for games. It's like if you played like Mega Man, it's like you're playing the whole game, I guess.
The thing is that there was a code that you could do, but you had to write that code down in like a grid, like A4 and E7 and things like that.
Yeah.
But now I can just get my iPhone out and go click, take a nice picture of that, and I'll see.
Sorry about that. Smart, very smart.
It was Kilby, wasn't it, who told the story before about how when he played Mega Man, he actually drew the grid and the dots instead of writing down the coordinates.
Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah, oh, yeah, me too.
Yeah,
I did at one point when I was playing Mega Man 2 as a kid. At one point, I actually had the positions for the final password with full energy tanks memorized. So,
oh, nice. Yeah.
Of course did.
Yeah. So it's still rattling around up there somewhere.
Oh,
like, yeah. At some point, you're going to be writing down like groceries for the week, and like spontaneously, you'll write that instead.
Guys, I can't remember if it was Castlevania 2, but I remember drawing the holy water bottle because I think you had, like, symbols. Oh, God.
Three. I remember that.
Isn't that Simon's Quest? Isn't that
yeah, Simon's just, Quest.
Yeah. I'm going to have to find the game. It's not, like, I don't think it's a hugely popular game, but I'll need to track it down. It's an NES game. And it was like that. So the password system was hieroglyphic. You know, it was essentially pictures and symbols. And they were so hard to read that they actually had on the password screen where it showed you, you know, here's your password, write it down and save it. There was actually on that same screen a test window where you could input the password and check it to make sure that you wrote it down correctly.
Wow.
So yeah, it was like a spell check. It was like, here's the password. We know you can't read it. So type it in this window and test it before you exit the screen.
That is like, surprisingly so charitable of them.
Awesome.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of, I think there's a video of the Angry Video Game Nerd, and he's going on about that very thing. I'm not sure if it's the same game, but they're just a massive convoluted password.
Oh, I bet he's talking about the same game. I gotta find that. Yeah, when the show's down the road, maybe we'll talk about, like, dumbest or weirdest things about games and passwords will be a...
That'll be a long one.
That'll be
sounds
a good one.
Like fun. I will say passwords.
What the hell, man? What the hell?
I will say just this one last thing, that between Metroid and Xanadu, I still put slashes through all my zeros to this day so I can tell the difference.
See?
Yep. There you go.
All right, so we learned something. They can teach. They can harm... They can hurt. They can also teach. So, if you're into Ninja Turtles, and I know you are, we all are, and you're into Turtles in Time, which you should be, for God's sakes, Turtles in Time is awesome. If you haven't downloaded it from the PlayStation Store and you have the ability and you have the vaguest desire to, you better hurry up because we're recording on June 29th, and on June 30th, Turtles in Time reshelled on the PlayStation Store. Their license to sell that in the United States goes bye-bye. So if you're listening live, you might not be listening right now. You're probably running to your PlayStation.
No!
Yeah. No. Reshelled is actually really awesome. You can go on YouTube if you want after the show.
Are they doing the same for the 1989 arcade game?
I don't know. I'm going to have to check. I don't know what
they're
talking about specifically.
Because I saw that news and I thought, well, you know, okay, maybe I need to get this. And I waited and, hey, it's on sale now on Xbox Live. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I thought about getting 89 because I kind of want 89 before they take it down too, but I didn't know.
Yeah,
the only thing I've seen specifically referenced for this is Turtles in Time reshelled, and that's due to the license expiring.
So, yeah, I don't know. And it may be like a real specific license for this kind of, I guess, reskin, kind of redo of like, I don't know. I don't know. If you've got the desire, please hurry up. Go after the show.
It's worth it, what, $10? $10?
Yeah, I mean, DLCs are fairly priced for the most part. They're okay. They're okay priced. Hey, guys, what are your favorite beat-em-ups in this kind of genre? What do you guys consider some of, like, the cream of the crop? Obviously, the Turtles games were really good back in the day.
Yeah.
The Simpsons one was quite good.
Yes.
Yeah. It had some quite, like, humorous moments in there.
Mm-hmm. You know which
it's
one gets
nicely
lost?
It's quite nicely animated as well.
Which one?
Well, The Simpsons is quite nicely animated.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Great animation.
Captain America and the Avengers. Oh my God!
Yeah, it's
X-Men.
Awesome music. Awesome.
X-Men.
X-Men was good. X-Men's good. X-Men got a revival. It's gotten like popular again.
Yeah, X-Men is also on sale right now on Xbox Live. $5.
I gotta get that.
Yeah.
$5.
$5. It's the deal of the week.
All right, X Chicken.
Nice. Yep.
Nice. Next.
Welcome to die.
Yes, like, Master of Magnet.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we need to look at that script again. Okay, so yeah, it's like by the way, thank goodness they didn't re-record that because that is awesome. It is awesome. It wouldn't be the same with proper English, I'll tell you that.
No, you've got to have at least broken translated English.
Absolutely. Hey, you know which one of these kind of gets lost in the shuffle? Maybe it's because it was a poor... poor Sega game, is Golden Axe. You don't really hear about Golden Axe.
Oh, Golden Axe.
I mean, there's a lot of nostalgia for it. It's just nobody ever talks about it. Anyway.
Yeah. I spent hours playing Golden Axe on my Genesis or Mega Drive from the UK.
Yeah, Golden Axe is awesome. Anyway, but Sega's got, I don't know if Sega has a thing against this genre or not, because they've got that and they've got Streets of Rage. They sure don't seem interested in redoing that stuff.
Matter of fact, it's a really nostalgic-filled
gaming world right now. It's kind of odd, you know?
Yeah.
Well, it's all Sega, isn't it now?
And Sega went to the trouble of shutting down some fan group that made a Streets of Rage remake, so you'd think they'd have something they'd want to present instead.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, they took it down like after it was up on the internet for 2 weeks. Yeah, it's like, you know, good luck chasing down every copy of that, Sega. I mean, I think 2 weeks equates to like 12,000 years, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so Team Fortress 2, has been, let's see here, Team Fortress 2 news. So following Valve's announcement that, TF2 would be more successful as a free product, and extending its free-to-play status forever. The gamers who previously had paid $20 to get the title have immediately begun calling for refunds. Obviously, when you pay $20 for a game and the maker says, you know what, this may be more fun and more successful if it was free, you'd say, hey, buddy, how about my $20 back? Well,
even if you bought it like 5 years ago.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, you know. Let's not worry about that. So others have complained that the game being free forever, yes, forever, would just attract hackers, you know, newbies. It would just kind of become a mess. It would lose its appeal or any barrier for entry. So obviously leading to an incredibly hardcore gaming experience being ruined forever. Guys, what do you think of the idea of, you know, well, one, a game like this being essentially opened up to the world for free. And then two, people going back and asking for a refund, no matter.
I can see that. I mean, if you've gone out and spent, you know, $10 on a game and then they've gone, well, you can have it for free. We're like, well, hang on a minute. You know, why are these getting it for free?
Do you think there's like a time limit on something like that? Or
yeah, I was going to say there's kind of a statute of limitations on when you can ask for a refund. And if you've had this for a long time, I think you're past that, but you've gotten your value out of your
dollars. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, you know, at this point buying games, I'm pretty well used to the fact that the full price of a video game is basically the early adopter fee. You know, but for the people who got it within the couple of weeks leading up to it being free, I would seriously want my money back at this point.
But
I mean, it's, for me, though, if I'd have paid the money way back when and then it was free now, I'd be like, well, yeah, kind of a little bit annoyed, but hey, I've had it for two or three years or whatever, so it's not really bothering me.
Yeah, I mean, it's
the same kind of idea. You know, you paid your money back then, and as a benefit of that, you've got to have it all that time.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, if people bought this in the orange box, even if they paid like full price for it, you have other games that were awesome. I mean, God, why is everybody such a whiny bitch these days? My God.
Oh, man. That's our new tagline next week.
Yeah, but with the Steam version, it was available individually, though, and my brother plays this, so I know a little bit about it. The one thing, the minor upside to this is that everyone who actually paid for the game gets a special hat that you cannot get for your character any other way. And the hats don't actually do anything, but he has told me that some of the rarer ones do actually accrue real-world value, ultimately.
Of course they do.
Huh. That's interesting.
So, yeah. You know, people who sit on the proof of purchase hat for a while may actually be able to get some of that money back someday down the road.
Okay. All right.
It's not too bad,
So two more stories before we jump to our topic, which again is the idea of a game that can only be played through completely once Saints Row the Third, a video walkthrough has been released to the internet. We posted a link live in our chat. I'll also tweet it after the show, actually. So, by the way, follow us on Twitter at TF Radio. That's at TF Radio, and you'll be able to get news from New Soundwave, RFC, and all our other sister shows, Fanboy Versus, and many others, Superhero Time, and others. The second story before we get to our topic. Hey, remember the PSN meltdown? Maybe. It is still melting and downing in Japan. Japan actually has much stricter standards, apparently, or a much higher, I guess, bar for Sony to meet when it comes to proving that the PSN is in fact secure and ready for the consumer again. We, of course, in the United States, welcomed the PSN back with open arms when Sony said it's ready to go. Japan was, I guess you could say, a little smarter, wiser, a little bit more protective probably of its citizenry. It has not let Sony turn on the PSN yet. So it's been down for literally months in Japan. This is a problem for Sony on many levels, many of them obvious, one of them being demos, obviously. So demos are time sensitive. And when you're down for several months, there are going to be games. Sonic is actually one of them that the Japanese community will possibly never get to play. They're going to have to put it back up essentially on the PSN. People are going to miss out on demos. Unless, of course, you bought a 360 and you're on the Xbox Live, which you're one of the five Japanese that did that. Everybody else is on PS3 and fuming. So guys, you know what? We've got a new cast of characters today, on the show. So, what is your take? We talked about this quite a bit, as XV knows, when it was happening on the PSN thing, but what are your guys, what's your take on kind of how it went down and the fact that we have an entire country still that does not have the online gaming that its system promised?
If you'll pardon me for a moment, there's only one good answer to how PSN went down, and that's hard.
Yeah. That's right. Forever, apparently, it went down for the count. Yeah. It went down for 2011, apparently.
Well, since I'm not in Japan, to me, honestly, I've almost forgotten that it was down because it's been up for what, how many weeks now?
Yeah, it's been like a month, I bet, around a
and
month.
I got my free games, and you know, continued. Yeah, world goes on.
And your fear of identity security?
I did not do that, actually, because I didn't know
it. Hey, everybody. <Let's> Okay, so what about you guys, Rob, Tony? What were your takes on like when the PSN went down? Or are you like Triplet, where it's not even like in your head anymore? It's kind of like a story that came and went.
Go on, you go first.
At this point, it's not like it's completely gone from it. It's just it's been so long that it almost seems like it's been months since it was down. I don't even know when it went down. Was it April?
Yeah.
It was a long time.
It's been a while, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing for me is, I mean, I've got a 360, so the whole thing going down didn't really affect me in the slightest, although I did laugh for quite some time. But it's just the fact that they can, you know, somebody has gone on and stole people's identities and bank accounts and things like that. And I can understand the people in Japan, especially after the disaster that just went over there. So they need to keep things secure and things like that. So I think that's probably why it's still down.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to really sort of secure the network. And I mean, because it possibly could happen again, and it even could happen to 360 as well.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just kind of like, I guess it's all, I wouldn't say it was necessarily bad luck, but it was going to happen to somebody, and it happened to Sony first.
Yeah, and look at like all the different companies that have been hacked since. I mean, is there like a day that goes by that we don't hear about another company that's been hacked now? Like a big company.
I think nowadays, I think it's just going to be if and when, really. You know,
Time has made Sony look a little bit less stupid in retrospect because of everybody else who's gotten hit. But you know, a lot of the things that came out at the time that's just struck me as a lot of incredibly avoidable situations caused by hubris on the part of Sony. But the details have not stuck in my mind, but that is the impression that was left, and I think they're going to have to take quite a while to live that down, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because, like, when Sony was hacked, everybody was like, ha-ha, and pointing and laughing, and, you know, people who owned a PS3 were crying, and people who owned a 360 were laughing, and then Sega gets hacked, and we all scream, like, for justice and murder, and we take to the streets for vengeance.
Well, you know, Sega at this point is basically the gaming community's folk hero.
Yes. Yeah, they're like the old senile kind of crazy guy on the hill.
Remember,
he was really cool in the 90s. What happened? Yeah, now he's kind of crazy and broke. Somebody robbed his house. And so we're all like, you know, oh my gosh, you know, we got to get justice for Jebediah on the hill. So, on that note.
John, I can't breathe now.
But, I mean, I don't know. Can you imagine, like, you know, this kind of senile? He's not, you know, sometimes he soils himself. But he's really brilliant.
I'm kidding. You know?
Yeah, got blue spiky hair. Okay, so on that note, let's get back into this really interesting game-changing event. I would call it an event that Capcom's going to unleash on us with Resident Evil Mercenaries 3D. It's a game for the 3DS. It is a game, as we said at the top of the show, that will only be able to be played completely through once. Why? It is a tactic to discourage or to devalue the game for resale. The person who buys it new will play through it, hopefully, probably. But once they do that, the entire game will be disabled. You'll only be able to play a certain percent of the game from then on out. So, guys, let's go.
That is silly, to be honest. Because if you go out and spend $20, $30 on a game, and you want to be able to play it any time you want. And if you can only play that game once, then, you know, you've just basically wasted $10. Because even if you, you know, finish the game and then trade it in for something else, you can't do that either. So you've wasted your money, really, essentially.
Yeah, it's a $40 game, isn't it?
Well, $40, yeah.
Yeah, it's a 3DS game, so it'd be $40. So let's see if GameStop is selling it to you at reduced price. They sell it, knocked $5 off. So you're paying $35 for a game you can't play again, apparently.
No. I mean, well, there are some games out there that you can only play once anyway because you think it's either too short or it was all right, and, you know, that's fine. But to completely stop somebody else playing that game as well, you know,
it's stupid.
From what I read about this, the way it worked is that you can at least go back and replay the earlier stages at any point. So it's just that everything, if you end up with a used copy, is going to be unlocked when you get it, which
in some ways that could be beneficial.
It could, but if you really want that challenge and that accomplishment from getting it yourself, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. I mean, certain games have different endings anyway, so it's nice to play it through three or four times to get all the different endings. So you can't even do that either.
I honestly thought this game was just like multiplayer only when I heard about it, because it's Mercenaries. The Mercenaries is kind of like these little missions in Resident Evil 4. It wasn't even like the full game. It was like a, you know, a bonus for
I wouldn't be surprised if they're testing this like concept with a game that kind of minimizes the one player story mode or some of the things that they're going to, like, you know, kind of lock out, so to speak, just to see how we react.
And I hate to tell you this, but you know what? Resident Evil multiplayer hasn't been the best thing about Resident Evil. You know?
to be honest, though, I quite enjoyed the Mercenaries on Resident Evil 5. I have to play that more than I do to play the game through, to be honest.
I mean, no.
Yeah, it's not perfect or anything by any stretch of the imagination, but I quite enjoy playing it. It's, you know, it's kind of old school arcadey, if you know what I mean. It's like waves and waves of enemies.
And you know, I quite enjoyed Resident Evil 5. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, yeah, it was all right.
I played 5. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, you should. It's definitely worth a play, right?
It's even worth a second play.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's good. It's funny how far that game has gone, at least fictionally, and as far as like gameplay, it's really evolved. But yeah, five strong. It's
yeah, and you can probably get it cheap now, and you can get it used, mm-hmm. and you can play through it again probably.
Yeah,
you can I mean, we'll start from the beginning.
Yeah, I think this whole thing of, you know, playing a game through once, yeah, that's fine on a sort of Xbox Live download, you know, for a couple of. You know, quid or even here or there, then you're not too bothered. You know, like a quick 10-minute, 5-minute game, whatever, and if you played through it, yeah, good, enjoyed it, don't need to play it again. But if you're spending so much money on a game that you can only play once, you know, it's ridiculous. It really is.
Well, yeah. And, okay, it might not be that important with this specific game that the save file can't ever be reset or overwritten, but if... in any way they decide that they can continue on this track, there are going to be other kinds of games they might try this on where if you've only got one save file and you can't go back on it and try again and you screw something up, you know, you're kind of stuck.
Yeah, this is something... See, I'm interested in Revelations, which is the next Resident Evil game for 3DS, which is more of a traditional story game. But if it is one save file and they do this to me on this... I might not buy that game. I mean, that could be the deciding factor for me. That could be the thing. Well, I was interested, and now I'm not interested.
Well, that's it as well. I mean, if they're going to do this, that's going to, you know, stop a lot of people buying that game. Because, well, if I can only play it once, there's no point.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, it may just be an aberration. They'll go, well, actually, that didn't work. Let's do, you know, the old-fashioned way.
Well, here's a question, just because as I'm mulling this over, does anybody here have a 3DS?
Yep.
No, not yet.
Okay, do you know whether or not it has a cartridge lock of any kind?
Like, not does anything? Not okay, that I know well, of.
Well, then it seems to me that if you really want to start over, there's a simple solution to that. When it starts saving and it says, please don't turn off the power or remove the cartridge, turn off the power or remove the cartridge.
I do know it has a lot, like almost every game that I've got has an autosave built into it. Like you don't really have a lot of control with the autosave.
Yeah.
So if this new game, if this Mercenaries has that and it has some sort of thing that it puts something somewhere into your system that you can't get access to and delete it, and so your game thinks that, hey, this is a brand new game, then yeah, that's a problem. But I don't know. But most of the games, like I said, they have this autosave that's always working in the background.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, I get the impression though that if you timed it right and you really wanted to corrupt your save file and start over, you could probably do it. Lord knows I've done it by accident enough times over the years. So
the real trick would be if Capcom somehow designed it so that if you do corrupt the save game file, you still can't start a new save file.
It doesn't work, and you have to go buy another game.
That's
even more of a customer service nightmare than this could turn out to be.
So here's a last question for you guys that actually Don in our chat room brings up. Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
So if you can only play this game once, what do you think of – this is just a question. What do you think of the idea of, say, okay, so you can only play through this game once, and after that it's a brick, but it's only going to be half price now. So a $60 game would be a $30 game, a $40 game would be a $20 game, and that – the way they kind of compromise.
Well, for still replay value is a big part of if I decide to plop down the money for a game, which in itself is a rare occasion. Mm-hmm. And even if they do have the price or even less, that's still, if I can only play through one time, that's still a major strike against it for me.
Hey, yeah. Mass Effect 2 is $20 now. I can replay that game again, and that game's pretty awesome to replay again. Because there's lots of different things you can do in that game the second time. Oh, my God.
That's it. I mean, it's like I say, it's like some games you got four or five different endings, you know, depending on how well you do. And it's nice sometimes to go through the game four or five times to get those different endings. Now, if you can't do this on that... And then, you spent your money, and now it's just a piece of plastic.
At that point, it's worthless. I mean, you might as well be free. I mean, if it was free, I'd play it. But then I'm not paying 99 cents for it at that point.
Well, no, that's it. Like I say, if it was maybe a free download on Xbox Live, maybe, fine. You know, because once you've played it, you think, well, I can delete that now, that's fine. It's not cost me anything. I've had a little go. Yeah, fine, okay. But if you're, like you say, spending your hard-earned cash on a piece of plastic, essentially is what it's going to end up as, you know, what's the point?
I think game companies are just going to have to accept the fact that people like owning physical things, even in the world of digital distribution, and physical things are transferable. And you know, basically, just once I want to hear a company, instead of saying, well, you know, we've lost a lot of sales on, say, Mass Effect to sales to rentals and used games, I want somebody to say, you know, the sales on Mass Effect 2 were really great because of all the rentals and used copies of Mass Effect 1 out there. Because that is another factor.
Well, you know, one thing just to bring up real quick is Mass Effect actually did something that I liked to get you to buy the copy. And you actually got, like, free downloadable content for buying the new copy. You know, it's like they did one of those deals where you get, like, a code or something. Do that. Don't, like, screw over the consumer by making you have to buy the game and then you can never replay it again. Give us something like a code or something, and then give us, like, I don't know, a free mission or something, a map pack or.
Led us to this point where they have done that, where you buy the game and you get a one-time use code for some premium content, and people have accepted that, and now they're trying to push it that next step farther to see what the buyers will put up with.
Well, that's it. I mean, I don't mind doing that, you know, getting like the Gold Lancer on Gears of War or something like that. But then, you know, it comes back to the thing we were talking about earlier about retro games. In 20 years' time, that's going to be a retro game. And because you've already played it, you can't play it again. You know what I mean? So it can't become one of those awesome classics, you know, depending on how good or bad the game is. So it's going to so we can't play it in 20 years' time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good point. See, it all comes around to retro games. That's
and
really
one last,
the point.
One last thing, too. Rob mentioned about how people like to have their physical media, and nothing proves that more than the current status of the PSP Go.
Yes. Yeah. And the smashing success that was. I believe you can pick one up off the back of a truck at your neighborhood 7-Eleven right now, maybe, perhaps.
Sending them out.
I need to check up on that. I need to see, like, what's the state of the PSP Go. Because I got to imagine at some point it's going to have the same fate as, like, the Neo Geo Pocket or something like that. It's going to be $30 in a bin in Toys R Us.
Game Gear.
So sad.
I'll go even further and say it's going to share the fate of the N-Gage, which is just
yes.
I can't even find a PSP Go in my area. I think they completely got rid of them. I don't know what.
Oh, really? Are they in the landfill with like the ET games?
I think so. Honestly.
Okay, that's awesome.
Well, my local game shop doesn't have a PSP Go in it, so.
But yeah,
well,
I mean, if
they're smarter,
not hold you one in either.
If anything was going to be the model for preventing people from reselling their games, it is the all digital distribution format, which has already failed once.
So, at some point we'll probably get there because, I mean, you look at like the iPads and the iPhones and stuff like that, just not yet. And for video games, like, you know, to Rob's point earlier, video games may never do it because we like our discs and cases and, you know, One thing I noticed, we'll get into this actually down the road, but another good topic we can talk about is, instruction books. And so back in the day, they were books, man.
Yeah.
Now they're just like a few pieces of paper. I mean,
now they're a warranty telling you.
I know, right? Yeah, they're essentially like a registration.
See, in the UK, we had because we're a European country, our books were usually three times the size because they have like 15 different languages in them.
Video game phone books, basically.
Yes. And
so
of course, with the decline of it.
But for this week, I think this about wraps up the show. So, like I said, next week will be the debut, the launch of the new version of New Soundwave. It is only addition. It's not subtraction. So some people in the chat last week were concerned that we were going to switch up the show. They like the current show, and we like the current viewers and listeners. So none of that's going to change. We're just going to add stuff. And we hope you enjoy it. Until then, this is John DeLuna for XV, for Tony, for Rob, for Chris. I am signing off. We'll see you next week again for the new Soundwave.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
This has been New Soundwave with your hosts, John DeLuna, Brian Gilbert, XV, Lady Rick, Gweebum, with Rob Springer. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. Like the podcast? Tell your friends. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2010, Radio Free Cybertron.